Well, the Adelaide Circus has now finally gone onto the court, and on the court at least, they're entertaining in the right way. Newsflash, everyone. Bryce Cotton is still Bryce Cotton. It doesn't matter what singlet you put him in. Welcome to the roundtable. Julia Marcus and Matt McQuaid with you. Maddie, it's nice now to be able to turn my attention to watching more of the other Brisbane. I've seen a lot of Brisbaneers of late. It hasn't been the Bullets. It's been the Lions. But, geez, don't you worry, folks. We've got a bit to say about the Brisbane Bullets across the course of this program. I'm sure a few of you have tuned in specifically for it because that circus music that we've been using, the Wells and Brothers Circus for Adelaide, I think there might be a new big top opening up north of the border. Welcome to you.
Hello, Julian. And yeah, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, you mentioned you'd seen the Lions. You were lucky enough to be at the MCG for the grand final, a blowout win to the Brisbane Lions over the Geelong Cats. Great game, and you were part of it as a member of the 3AW team. So congratulations to you for all of that and all the great work you're doing with them. And it's I think we should start with this because we've had you know, one of the all-time greats already come out on social media and give his viewpoint on this Stu Lash coaching situation. Can't say it. And it was, I guess, for you and I when – well, we did the season preview and we talked about this whole scenario. We always said this whole process, trust the process, this whole process of selecting this guy as your head coach was monumentally flawed, or there was no process. And it ended up being the guy's a mate of the owner. He's got NBA experience as whatever, director of player personnel or scout or, you know, video guy, who the hell knows. Never had an assistant coaching role, never had a head coaching role anywhere. He can do it. He knows basketball. He's from the NBA. And that's how we'll sell it. We'll sell it to our fans. Yeah, this guy, he's got unbelievable NBA experience. Like that means diddly squat. And especially these days. I did say, let's give the guy a chance. I said, look, you can make that argument for Justin Tatum. Justin Tatum had high school coaching experience. That was it. He was brought in as a special advisor. We know the story. Took over from Jacob Jacobus. Ended up taking the Hawks to a semifinal that first year. We all know what happened last year. And he was the coach of the year. To me, that was just a magical situation and one that was very unlikely to be repeated, and particularly with this guy. And especially since the Bullets, as we've also spoken about for a long period of time, you know, particularly you, you know, getting upset because you want Brisbane to succeed, as do I, because, you know, we've talked about it a million times, third largest market in the country. So when this happened, we were kind of like, oh, no. We thought they turned the corner. Look, I didn't think they should have got rid of Justin Schuller personally as a head coach. I thought they handled that really poorly. I think so far, you know, this doesn't look good. And over the weekend, man, it was eye-opening at the very least. I could not believe what I saw in those timeouts. And just during the game, I've not seen anything like it.
So, like I said, I've seen a lot of Brisbane lately. It hasn't been the Bullets. I've caught up today. I have been watching the KO minis. They've been an absolute godsend, those, over the last few weeks. Obviously, I was at the throwdown because I called the thing. But I wanted to go back and just have a look at Brisbane because the last couple of Brisbane games, no, this can't be right. Surely this is just maybe a subconscious inherent bias is making me see something. No, it's real. Greg Vanderjagt is coaching this team along with D-Mac. And we have a guy in Stu Lash who is there spectating. He's there as the team manager. It's almost like he's there as a contest winner. He's not coaching this team. You're supposed to be, and we've said this 1,000 times on this show, you're meant to be the third biggest market in the country. And particularly in a week where AFL analogies are the norm. And I saw the one with Melbourne United being compared to Geelong. And boy, howdy, did they nail that one.
Yes.
Well, if Melbourne United are Geelong, then Brisbane, you're Essendon. You should be a giant, but you're embarrassing.
Yeah.
This was ridiculous. And it's made me angry because of the talent that we've said is on this roster. This should be a top 14.
Yeah, they built. I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, but they built a team that can be competitive. It's you know, with the right coaching. And right now, we don't know who the hell the coach is. Is it Greg Vanderjagt? Is it Daryl McDonald, the legend? For what it's worth, I mean, I know Vandy very well, and he's one of those guys that's going to be a head coach, legitimate head coach. That is.
I was going to say he already is one.
He practically is, but a legitimate head coach in the National Basketball League one day. He will. He's got a great background. He works his tail off. He's very, very knowledgeable, good man manager, you know, all those things that you kind of look for in a young head coach at this level. I defer to the great Mark Worthington. The first tweet, red flags at the Bullets with Stu Lash. Worldwide search for a head coach, and I'm quoting the tweet. Gifted by his mate and co-owner Levian. True. Basketball resume is exactly what I just said. Scout and video coordinator. 02-06. Director of player personnel, 09-12. This team deserves better. He's not a coach. Vandy and D-Mac are babysitting. And were those on the money? Absolutely on the money. And anybody with a television could see it. It's his ideas, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I can't imagine going out there and as a Bullets player, particularly Jalen Adams is your point guard, who hasn't been at his best ever since that great partnership between him and Chase Buford ended. And I don't mean ended in a bad way. I mean, obviously, Chase moved on. And then, Jalen eventually moved on. Jalen moved on with the Kings. And he's had two coaches since then. It just didn't work. And clearly, it's not working at the moment. Well, look, he's still a good player. But I can't imagine he'd be looking at this situation with any happiness or any confidence in what was going on. And they could have won both games on the weekend, amazingly enough. And I think that's probably down more to the talent. But they haven't. And, you know, look, Tyrell Harrison's going to be a superstar, I think. He's getting to that point as far as big men are concerned anyway in this league. But, the whole thing could be held back by this situation, which, it's utterly bizarre that a professional basketball organization would say that we've been through a worldwide coaching search and then end up with a guy who's got no coaching experience whatsoever other than he's an NBA guy, big freaking deal, and his mate's the co-owner and gave the job to him. What, you honestly believe you're going to contend for a championship? We're in it to win it. You know, as the saying goes, we're in the wins and losses business here. And we can't have this team, you know, floundering yet again. We can't. They're trying to build something up there. Well, you'd hope they are.
What are they building?
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy situation. And again, you know, look, it's still early. I put the caveat on. We don't know what's going to happen, but my confidence level in this organization has taken still. You know, we were told it was different. It was going to be, you know, positive, professional, and all of that. And so far, it's anything but.
My expectations were pretty low to begin with. They were almost on the floor, and yet they've soared beneath them. They really have. This has set new standards by Brisbane standards. Sunday in particular, that was damning. Because it felt like, even watching, not even in timeouts, in general play, Vanderjagt and D-Mac are having conversations about tactics. You could see it. They're having conversations about, okay, we should shift this, move this, move this, and move this. And Stu Lash is down, halfway down the sideline, just in his own world. It felt like that there was a whole different process going on without his involvement. And then you get to the timeouts, and Greg Vanderjagt's leading the timeouts. And we're seeing D-Mac lead the timeouts.
you remember, and I spoke about this last week when we first saw it, that people lost their biscuits when Brian Georgian was giving up, I think it was Adam Caporn might have been taking some of the timeouts during the Olympics. And people were like, what the hell's going on here? You know, Gorge has lost it, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, how this is a good look for Brisbane, how anyone would think that, you lose me. I'm stunned. And again, proof it will ultimately be in the pudding. It's a long season. Well, not that long, but longer than usual, 33 games. But the only way it's going to stop the chatter and stop the incredulousness of pretty much everybody that knows basketball is they got to win ball games. Simple as that.
Well, they're going to win ball games just based on talent alone. They are
going
to win ball games.
Not in this league, you're not. No, not in this league, you're not. That's what I'm saying. If this thing is going to work, it's a large uphill battle that they face because, you know, you look at the coaching, and I've said this a million times, the coaching in this league is outstanding. Not just in this league, like in every level in this country. We have world-class coaches. We've lost a lot of them overseas for that very reason. And in this league, it's no different. The scouting is outstanding. The in-game adjustments are usually on point for the really good ones, you know, and there's a lot of them. And right now, he's not showing that he's a legitimate head coach. That's the bottom line.
And I know the whole thing. Well, you know, Vanacek drew up. This player, DMAC drew up. This player, so they're telling the team through these players. Okay, well then, if that's the case, what is Stu's contribution to this program right now?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and exactly. I mean, is it purely motivational? Is that what he's there for? Well, doesn't seem like that. How are the guys responding to him? Well, are they responding to him, or are they responding to Vandy or DMAC? This is the question. There's three separate voices.
He's the director of morale.
Yeah, director of morale. I can't see how it's going to work long term. If this is the way they're going to go, and he's not the guy that's the voice, because ultimately it should be like, look, yes, Vandy and DMAC as assistants, they should have their say. They should be listened to. But ultimately, the final message has to come from the head coach. That's how this thing works. And maybe Brisbane have found some secret sauce, which, you know, being 1-2 would suggest not. But maybe they think this is a new way of doing things, and we're going to show the NBL that this is the way to go. You got to convince me first. Start winning some ball games. And beating New Zealand doesn't mean diddly squat. Means nothing. So beat Melbourne, beat Perth, beat Illawarra, beat Tassie, beat the Phoenix. If you want to convince me that this whole thing isn't just an absolute shambles.
This is an insult to the past players of the Brisbane Bullets. This is an insult to the fan base of the Brisbane Bullets. This is an insult to the history of the Brisbane Bullets. This is an insult to the city of Brisbane, who, by the way, in case you haven't heard, aren't hard up at the moment on a winning team.
Yeah, that's right.
They've got choices.
It's a great opportunity. I mean, we've seen it. Brisbane can leverage off that, the Lions. They can. I've always talked about there are similarities between AFL and basketball, a lot of connections over the years. Yeah. I mean, when you consider some of the great coaches that have been through there, I mean, the obvious one, Brian Curl, the obvious one, Joey Wright, Bruce Palmer's another one over the years. Yeah, I can imagine Curly and Joey be looking at this situation and just shaking their heads.
I said they'll win games based on talent. You're right. I mean, this league is too good. They can't play New Zealand every week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's too strong a league to be able to do it. They've got some incredible talent in there.
And look, to be fair, the Adelaide game they lost, they were without a guy who's going to be a really key piece for them, Javon Freeman-Liberty. There's no doubt about that. That hurt them. But they should. They still had enough to be competitive. I guess that's the other thing. Albeit, you know, I mean, it was one import, Adelaide. But they've got a lot to prove.
Do you just put Stu back in the office and say to Greg and DMAC, okay, you two are the co-coaches? Or have them both have a coach off?
A coach off. Yeah, I don't know.
How do you get out of this?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then we go back to, on this program, back in the winter, we had Mick Randall, who told us that Paul Hanare was essentially ready to take this job.
Yeah.
Now, imagine this Brisbane team with Paul Hanare as head coach.
Yeah, it'd be a different situation. And look, it doesn't guarantee anything. But, you know, I'd be more comfortable having a guy like that leading my program, put it that way.
I guarantee you it wouldn't look like a parody like it currently looks like.
Yeah.
It just looks like a meme. They look like an internet meme. And if the Bullets are upset at me about saying that, then that's fine. But
you know, wouldn't be the first time.
It won't be the first time that I'd be banned from the building or whatever it was
that's right.
I wanted
to do. Yeah.
and that's fine. Said at the start of the year, breaking up is hard to do when it comes with Kendrick Davis and Montrezl Harrell in Adelaide. Well, they've lost that loving feeling, Montrezl Harrell and the Adelaide 36ers, haven't they? Well, certainly Montrezl has. This has been quite the continuing fallout of Montrezl Harrell being released from his contract, the contract terminated by the Adelaide 36ers. We've spoken of the reasons why. The hanging suspension, we don't know if it's a suspension yet. Is it a provisional suspension? We're waiting for a suspension. Is there actually a suspension? Hello, Chinese Basketball Association, what's going on? But Montrezl Harrell has taken to social media in the time since. And when is that tell-all interview with Jason Kadee, who's now seemingly Michael Parkinson
in retirement?
Yes, Andrew Denton. Jason Kadee is the new Andrew Denton. Go, Jace. I love this career change for him. But what the heck is happening now?
You got to laugh about it because, I mean, you go back about the whole business with him and Kendrick Davis, and you know, Kendrick Davis got blasted because he was carrying on about how, you know, felt like he was treated in Adelaide, and Montrezl was, you know, he was the voice of the 36ers. You know, he was speaking for all of them, saying, you know, let it go. You know, no one liked you. You know, you were the one that were causing the problems and this and that. And now all of a sudden it's kind of like the shoe's on the other foot. And he's the one coming back at Adelaide saying, you know, like blaming them in some bizarre fashion for the situation. And yeah, I find it fascinating though, because there's been suggestions made in a couple of different quarters of the media that Adelaide aren't actually unhappy that this whole thing went down with him. As in, they may have felt as a collective unit that they would be in a better situation if they didn't have Montrezl Harrell playing for them, which sounds crazy considering what he did last year on the court. We know all NBL second team. He was a beast. He brought people through the door. I've said that he was great for the league, and he really was. I mean, this is a former NBA Sixth Man of the Year, and with a voice, with a personality, which we always talk about, the league needs the more personalities, the better, because it draws eyeballs, you know, not just the basketball type, but the casual eyeballs that I always talk about. So, yeah, I think it does. It's very, very interesting. And we talked about the fact that, you know, how were Bryce, Cotton and Montrezl Harrell going to coexist? Because they're both, in their own way, they're both complete alphas. You know, in terms of, you know, volume, rate, you know, usage rate, that is, you know, being the, I guess, the front men for the team that you're playing, being the leaders. And, you know, how is that going to work? And then you've got DJ Vasiljevic, and so you've got that to deal with as well in turn. And DJ's an alpha as well. So, yeah, there was a lot of, I guess we sort of talked about that, and I know Boddy talked about it, kind of how was that going to work? And I think we saw the other day that it probably is going to work better without Trez. They've got, you know, more than enough, I think. And obviously they've still got a couple of import spots, one of which they've filled. But yeah, that, I guess the in-team, I just found it really fascinating, Julian, that Adelaide were kind of sorry, not sorry, I guess, is the term. It was kind of like, yeah, bad luck, but good luck to you. And on we go. So he got a little bit of a taste of his own medicine, I guess, as far as that whole situation is concerned. And look, I don't blame him being upset. You know, I mean, obviously he had that whole gig with the NBL. The NBL was going to make him the face of Supercoach. As we know, I'm sure that would have been a pretty penny that he was getting out of that, which all of a sudden was taken away from him. And now he's got this whole thing hanging over him, which could be as much as a 2-year suspension, which I know people are going to yell at me, well, what about Xavier Cooks and what he got for cocaine use? It's different. It's apples and oranges. I mean, you're talking about the CBA and the NBL, the Chinese anti-doping versus the Kings and the NBL and WADA and all of that. And then also FIBA being involved. So, which they, you know, really weren't with Xavier because he was already a signed player with the Kings. So, yeah, I just had to laugh at the whole back and forth between him all of a sudden and Adelaide, and Adelaide's kind of shrugging their shoulders going, yeah, thanks, mate, for the year, but we'll move on. And we're quite happy about it.
And from what we've seen on the floor, I think that they are going to be just fine.
Yep, they'll be okay.
Just before we get into the review of last weekend, I've gone to basketball.com.au. Just back on Stu Lash for a minute.
Oh, no, hang on, Julian.
I've gone down this rabbit hole. This is what they do to me. Braden Hazelhurst, who we both know very well. Yep, great man, very good at what he does.
He's a listener of the program as well, so Braden.
He wrote in April about the appointment of Stu Lash, which we reacted to at the time. But this one kind of slipped by me. Two-time championship coach with the Kings, Chase Buford, was reportedly interested, but the Bullets weren't interested in him. Two of the finalists included former New Zealand Breakers coach Paul Hanare, which we knew, and David Gomez, who is coaching in Japan. So it wasn't just Paul Hanare. We had Chase Buford, who is still yet to lose an NBL championship as a head coach. He went 2-for-2. And the Bullets said, no, we good. What?
Pull yourself out of the rabbit hole, Julian.
How did...
You're sinking deeper and deeper into it.
The more I dig into this, the stupider it becomes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. And we said that at the time. Yeah, 100%.
They would have said no to Gorge at this rate.
Yeah, well, probably. I don't think I worry about that. We'll get on to that in a minute. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Phil Dean Jackson. Vickman
maybe, or Justin Tatum, or Scotty Roth, or Adam Ford. You know, go on down the line.
Adam Ford and Dean Vickerman want to both coach together. No, we're good. We'll take Stu Lash.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the last bit as well, Mark Worthington mentioned the years of experience. The last year that's on that list is 12.
Yeah, 2012, yeah.
For those of you playing at home, it's currently 25 and soon to be 26.
Yep.
So 25 minus 12 equals 13 years. This is the dumbest thing that the Bullets have ever done.
Yeah. No.
And that's saying a mouthful.
Yeah. Be careful. There's been a few more than that. But again, I'll try and come with a more positive approach to it. They're 1-2. It's a 33-game season. Let's see if Stu does his studying.
It's not personal, folks. This is not personal.
Yeah, we're going to cop it. You in particular. But anyway, that's fine. It's not, you're used to it when it comes to them.
They don't like me. I'm just disappointed by them consistently. Because what I would love nothing more, NBL Championship Series, sold out Boondall, Brisbane Bullets winning the championship, 13,000 Queenslanders screaming their heads off.
Mm.
That would be, we've seen it with Tasmania. We've seen it with Sydney in recent times. We could see it with Adelaide sooner rather than later with Bryce Cotton there. That would be unreal to see that in Brisbane.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I've obviously seen it, but I remember, 87 and when they won in 85, and that was at, Chandler, it wasn't at Boondall. But 87 was just, it was magical. And I mean, the third game of that grand final series ended up at the time was the most biggest attendance for an indoor event, full stop, in this country, because we didn't have the giant, you know, Qdos, and we didn't have an RAC, and we didn't have the National Tennis Center at the, you know, when it, you know, before it was built. We didn't have that. What we had was the Brisbane Entertainment Center, Boondall. And I still remember it like it was yesterday. It was just, there was something special. It's basically what the Brisbane, getting back to the AFL, it's what the Brisbane Lions have, they've captured that. You know, the games at the Gabba, you know, sold out consistently, and the noise and the atmosphere, and people just love the Lions, and they're exciting, and it's part of the fabric. Who would have believed that in such a rugby league town that this AFL team could capture the imagination the way they have? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, that was Brisbane Bullets basketball. That was exactly how it was in the days of the legend Leroy Loggins, in the days of the great man Brian Curl, of Ronnie the Rat Radliff, of Larry Sengstock, of Long John Dorge, and then later on in the early 90s, the great man Derek Rucker and Andre Moore, that great team. And, you know, it was spectacular. And it was, you know, really a big reason why the NBL had that boom, as they called it, in those times. And that's what, I guess, you in particular, you know, you get upset about what you kind of think is stupidity, and I think a lot of people would agree with you, when you just want to see them capture that again. You know, you see what's possible. You see what has been possible with the basketball team, what is possible given the fantastic success of the Lions. And yes, the Brisbane Broncos, you know, well, I don't care about NRL personally, but I understand it. Obviously, it is a big part of the culture up there. I get it. So it is there for the Bullets if they want to take it. But you've got to do the right things. You've got to be so professional. You've got to, you know, you've got to capture hearts and minds. And they're still a long way from that, unfortunately. I hope they get it right.
And let's get to their games themselves in round two. Melbourne 103, Phoenix 83 in the throwdown in front of 10,000 on Thursday night.
You called it very, very well.
There was a lot to like for Melbourne here. Gee whiz.
Well, the thing I came away with, great game for three quarters. And then Melbourne just put the foot down and went, you guys, try and come with us. They got physical. They got up and in defensively. They shut the Phoenix down. The Phoenix looked gassed. And 28-13 final period. And as I said, I mean, you called it brilliantly and captured it. I'm looking at Melbourne United. And I know we talked about in the season preview the fact that we felt like this was going to be the closest league potentially ever, because there were at least six or seven teams you look at and say, you could actually contend for a championship. But I'm looking at this Melbourne team. Mind you, a Melbourne team that still hasn't suited up Christopher Golding yet.
Precisely.
And I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at that performance, and I'm watching it going, have they elevated themselves already above everyone else and put a sizable gap? Again, it's so early. But with the way they're going about it, this group looks just so bloody dangerous, and I couldn't have been more impressed. That was a spectacular performance against a Phoenix team. Obviously, we had Simon Mitchell, our great friend, on last week, and you know, I lauded the Phoenix for their performance against Cairns. Cairns were down, and Simon admitted that, and this was always going to be a much harder test. And for three quarters, they matched it, but once Melbourne United put the foot on the throat, it was like, holy hell, this thing got out of hand in a hurry, and they just look absolutely devastating. They've got so much talent. They've got so much depth. Their second unit looks ridiculous. I mean,
this group gives me 2021 vibes.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
I know that's a big call, because that team had so much individual talent, and so does this one, but they bat so ridiculously deep.
That's the difference. Yeah, that 21 team had top end talent. Let's face it, Yeah, they were deep too. But I kind of, there's an evenness to this group that's so frightening. You know, you sort of go on to, I mean, look, five guys in double figures again scoring. Tanner Krebs and Fabian Krizlovic coming off the bench, just improving every year. Yeah, Shea Ely doing what Shea Ely always does. Milton Doyle just, he's fitted in beautifully. Jesse Edwards, yeah, didn't have to do too much, was kind of in foul trouble, but it didn't really matter. Tyson Walker just strikes me as a guy that he can just turn it on when he wants to. He's in total control of the situation. And then you add Chris Golding, who is a no doubt world-class shooter, one of the greatest shooters this country's ever produced, and an, you know, and a winner, an Olympian, Olympic medalist, all that stuff. And look, everyone knows about my, you know, admiration for Dino Vickerman as a head coach. They, and we talked about, you know, well, you know, I talked about off air how impressive that front office is led by Nick Trulson, who I've got enormous time for, and I know you do as well. So yeah, I was highly impressed, if you didn't already know. And I just, it just struck me in thinking, wow, Melbourne, they, man, how many games are they going to win this year? Like, look, again, it's, you know, that time for overreaction, and I understand that, but they haven't put a foot wrong so far. And if you, again, without Golding, who's such a talisman for them, yeah, it's a frightening prospect. It really is.
And it's the thing is, we know about Melbourne historically under Dean Vickerman, they are a lethal team on the road. They are a ridiculously strong team on the road. And I'm sure that a lot of that is borne out by the fact that they're on the road every January, all of January.
Yeah.
They're doing this at home, which was their Achilles heel last season. It struck them during the year. It obviously struck them in the championship series, losing twice. But they have been putting teams away with different styles, even. Like the thing against the Breakers that struck me was just the ball movement and how quickly they were just flinging the rock around the court. This was a different style again. And then you look through the box score as well, and the amount of minutes that guys are getting off the bench, like Fabian Krizlovic, 20 minutes off the bench. Dash Daniels is already playing 17 and a half minutes.
Yeah, which, you know, again, hat tip to our good friend Mick Randall about that. You know, he said that in the preseason. Yeah, you know, when we had him on, he said, look, this kid's going to play 10 to 15, even 20 minutes a game as a next star. It's like, really? And I kind of was a little bit incredulous when he said it, but he was right. I mean, what a talent he is. I mean, I saw him, you know, when he was at COE, and you could see that the talent's prodigious, no doubt, but still incredibly raw. So you put him in this environment with a fantastic coaching staff led by one of the greatest ever in Dino Vickerman, and such a professional organization in the way they go about it. You know, take note, Brisbane. And yeah, and here he is, and being a contributor already, and they'll probably have him for 1 year at the most, because he's going to be a top 10 draft pick probably. Now you look at the some of the mock drafts have him anywhere. I've seen him anywhere as high as 7, you know, 7 to 15 range. It's crazy. And that's what they've got. So, yeah, look, we all said they were the championship favourites, and they've done absolutely nothing to dissuade me from that view.
Josh King, in the post-game press conference, these were interesting comments. He's saying that his team lacked toughness.
Yeah, I liked it, though. I liked what he said. I think it's a good reminder. You know, look, they had this blowout win, and they're up and about, and everybody's, oh, look at the Phoenix. And we said the same thing, and I thought the Phoenix were fantastic against Cairns. I loved the way they went about it. But, Simon said, you know, this Simon Mitchell, he said this. He said, you know, this is a test for us. So, okay, yep, now we know what it's going to take. So it's not a bad lesson to learn in the early stages of this season. And if your coach, look, they've responded to him from day one. Josh King. So his words, I'm sure, were very calculated. He knew what needed to be said, and I'm sure the message will get through, and we'll see a tougher, harder-edged Phoenix the next time out.
Obviously, for both these teams, their next assignment are the New Orleans Pelicans this weekend at Rod Laver Arena. Now, Yes, it is preseason for the Pelicans. It is an exhibition game for these two clubs. But what are you looking to see from both United and the Phoenix against the Pels?
Yeah, I think just play their game and you know, like, attack it. Go after it. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's preseason for the Pelicans. But, yeah, I mean, I look, be competitive, obviously. That's the thing. It's going to be hard. I mean, look, DeJounte Murray apparently is not coming due to injury, but everybody else is. And Zion Williamson has gone from looking like Jabba the Hutt to looking like an absolute, you know, the kind of monster that everybody expected him to be. He's dropped a ton of weight. He looks amazing. That's going to help him on a number of fronts, not just from a cardio perspective.
How are you doing, by the way? I've had a few questions.
Yeah. Oh, well, I saw my cardiologist today, and blood pressure's down, and the EKG was good, and cholesterol's down, so all not too bad. Had a couple of ups and downs, but it's improving.
They wouldn't happen to time.
Thanks everybody for their support again.
They wouldn't time with Sydney Kings games, would they?
Yeah. Oh God, I tell you what, we'll get onto them in a minute. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, look, the Pelicans will be taking this seriously. They have to, you know, and it's, look, you know, Australian teams have had success against NBA teams, which I never thought I'd say that, you know, and we've actually beaten one and gone close to winning another one. So, yeah, it's going to be fantastic, though, isn't it? I mean, sell that crowd at Rod Laver. You know, having the NBA, and this is just the first of many. You know, I think the next step will be to bring, you know, NBA games full stop to our shores.
Yeah.
That'll be the evolution of this, in the same way that the NFL is coming to the MCG. I mean, that's going to be, yeah, 100,000 people. I'm a nut about the NFL. And, you know, so I stayed up till 11:30 because I wanted to see the Minnesota-Pittsburgh game that was at Croke Park in Dublin. 83,000 people. It was like a bloody Super Bowl. It was incredible. And that's what's going to be at the MCG. And that's what will happen if they eventually, and they will, bring NBA games out here, you know, regular season NBA games. It's going to happen. Yep. This is just the first step to it.
The thing I'm most looking forward to is to see how many minutes Dash Daniels gets on Friday night. Mm. And if we've seen him take steps forward in the three games already, if he has a solid performance, a strong performance against the Pelicans,
yep.
I just am interested to see how the hype explodes from the States. Because like you said, this is a guy that, first of all, he's not even 18 yet, folks. He's 17 years old until December. So yep. We've got to keep that in mind too. He's set to be the youngest prospect in this next draft class. And like you said, he's already being talked about as an early first rounder.
Yeah.
Heaven knows where he could end up by the end of the season. Again, LaMelo Ball came out to these shores and ended up a lottery pick.
Exactly. Saw his father on Sunday too. He was at the Kings game at Kudos. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's probably going. You're right. That's probably going to be the main thing from that perspective. To see how he performs at that level. So fantastic event. I wish I could be down there for it, but going to enjoy watching. Yeah, you know, United and Phoenix. And it's good. You know, coming up against. You know, they're in season now, so it's, you know, they should be ready. They should be sharp. And look, it's an exhibition, two exhibitions technically. But I'm sure both, you know, the two Aussie clubs and the Pelicans are taking this very seriously.
If you get a chance to see Melbourne United in your town, go to watch Dash Daniels for nothing else. Go and watch him, because the longer this season goes, if he continues trajectory, and I don't even know if that's realistic, but if he continues to progress like he has been, folks, we've got a special one.
Yep.
I think we already knew that, but he may even be better than we thought, and that is extraordinary to say. I love watching this. I'm so happy he's here in Melbourne. We've hit the jackpot on this one. It's like the LaMelo experience, only this time, I don't think the ride's going to get shut down after 12 games or whatever it was with LaMelo.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Was it? That was the, was it 17-143 that they drew against Sydney that day?
5-1-4, the 1-4-3. Very good, Julian. Gee, yeah, that's a good memory. No, the 5-1-4, that was the record. Yeah. Well, was the record, not anymore. Because we hit the 18,000 plus now. But yeah, it's that was a special night without a doubt. And yeah, and then you're right, this kid, he could be anything. I mean, look, there's people that have said that at the same age, and it's no guarantee that he's going to go to the heights of his brother. It just, you're talking about potential, right? So he's better than his brother at the same age. Whether or not he becomes that type of player is, look, who knows? It's going to be up to him. It's going to be up to where he gets drafted and all that sort of stuff. And his attitude, and by all accounts, he's got the same attitude as his brother does. So, and look, you just want to see the next generation coming through. I mean, this kid's going to play for his country one day, and he's going to try, and he's going to go after Olympic medals like his brother will and has. So, yeah, when you see them now, it's a great thing, and then it kind of you follow their career. And that's the thing, and you love to see them just keep ascending.
Do you think he could squeeze a way into a spot come LA?
Well, LA, yeah, well, I mean, what's LA now? 3 years away, so
yeah,
he's going to be 20. He'll be in the mix, put it that way. We're going to have it. Look, as far as wings go, we're churning them out like crazy.
He's a lot. He'd have to be a lock for Brisbane, but LA.
Oh, you'd think so. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it's 3 years away. A lot can happen.
Yeah.
But he'll certainly be in the mix. I mean, that's going to be as competitive a selection process for an Olympic team as probably we've ever seen, I imagine.
So exciting. So exciting. Cairns and Brisbane, 83-82 in front of 4,052 at the Cairns Convention Centre. The Taipans did their best, Matt McQuay, to hand the win to their fellow Queensland brethren, but they just couldn't get it done, the Taipans.
They tried to lose, yeah. But no, they yeah, it, look, you know, Andrew Andrews' debut, and obviously less than 36 hours actually after he came off a huge flight from overseas and, you know, met his teammates, had one training session and was into it. And you know, we saw over the weekend, you know, not just this game, but the Kings game where he's cramping up severely. You can't blame him. And, you know, he didn't have his legs under him early on. But I tell you what, you know, and 40 was interesting. I, you know, the press conference after the Sydney game, which we'll get onto in a sec, but 40 was saying he could not believe there were people. You know, he said, I can't remember what the term was, but it's sort of so-called experts, I guess, paraphrasing, that, and one of whom thought that he was a downgrade on Ashton Hagen. So I don't know who he was referring to. Yeah, if you think that's the case, and I worry about your knowledge about basketball, because as he pointed out, yeah, this is a guy that's played in several outstanding leagues. He's well-traveled. He's experienced, you know, suited up for Panathinaikos. I mean, he's a guy that, I suppose you look again, it's one of those things, looking at stats, especially with these guys that do play in different leagues around the world, it can be, you know, a bit of a folly to do it, because if you take too much out of it and you don't look deeper into where he's playing, what his role is, etc., you can come off with a mistaken impression about the player. And, you know, it's easy to do, and I think we've all done it at some stage. But I thought they kind of got extremely lucky with getting him once the whole Ashton Hagens thing fell down, because he's a much better floor leader than people believe. He can shoot the crap out of it. Forget about what you've seen so far. This is a guy that's still, you know, working through jet lag, working through, and it's going to take a little time for him to get used to this league. But once he does, they've got themselves a good one. They really have. And, you know, I think I love it. Again, he's got a great attitude. He's obviously got that leadership intangible. He will add a lot to this program. And, yeah, and then, of course, you've got Jack McVay, who, you know, 40 called it, you know, said to me, he's a cheat code. And he's right. He is. I mean, one rebound, one assist off a triple-double. I mean, the man is just can get – he can score any way you like, any way you want it. He can hit you know, they ran that 4-5 pick and roll with Marcus Lee, and Brisbane, you know, whoever the hell was coaching them, was clueless to stop it. And, you know, but he can do that. He can post you up. He can hit that fadeaway. He's got that step through. He's got incredible footwork. And he's improved his passing. He's always been a great rebounder. He's a good defender. I mean, it's, you know, he's an MVP candidate for mine, Jack. And we saw that over the weekend. So, and as 40 also said to me, look, they're still figuring out how to work with him, figuring out how to play around him, you know, and because it's a brand new starting unit, pretty much. So, yeah, it was a great win by them. I think it was one they needed. They responded after 40 gave them what for, after the Phoenix game, where, you know, again, he's a guy that he knows the temperature of his team and he knows when he has to go hard at them. And he did, and it worked. They responded because he has enormous respect as a coach and as a human being. They know he loves them and he wants the best for them and he wants to put them in the best possible positions to succeed. So, yeah, it wasn't the prettiest win, but sometimes the first wins aren't. And I think they're the Smoky this year. I've said that already. I'm a lot higher on them, and I have been a lot higher on them than a lot of people. And don't forget, they've still got Sam Wartenberg to come back in, and he's going to make a massive difference as well.
We'll have more to say about Cairns in a bit, and we've already spoken about Stu Lash. Perth 89-78 winners over the New Zealand Breakers at Spark Arena. 4,047, the crowd in Auckland. The Breakers.
Yeah, not great. Not great crowd, is it?
Yeah.
You know, I think from memory, Spark Arena holds about 8,000. I think in the Halcyon days, they were, you know, getting 7,000 to 8,000. So, yeah, that was a bit disappointing, considering all the talk about putting the New Zealand back in the Breakers. And
9,740 for basketball.
There you go. So
not even that's half. Right.
Less than half. Damn. It's worrying, and there's worrying signs for this team. Look, there was a period in that fourth quarter, you know, when they scored, what was it? They ran off 15 straight, I think, or 12 straight or whatever it was, and got out. Well, they got out by 12. And, you know, it was Ailey Arthur hitting back-to-back threes, and it just everything was going wrong for Perth and right for New Zealand. And I thought, gee, don't tell me they're going to get a W here. But, yeah, once Perth got their proverbial together, it was all over Red Rover, and they really capitulated, unfortunately. 27-4 in the last 7 minutes. And then that, you know, it was a 17-0 run that got them back in front and got them, you know, they had all the momentum. But New Zealand's defense was just pathetic. And their physicality wasn't there. And, you know, look, for 3.5 quarters, I guess you could say it was, but I don't know whether it was just Perth still trying to find themselves, and I think it's going to take a little while longer for them to find themselves as a group. You know, their go-to guys kind of got a taste of it. I thought Dylan Wimler was outstanding. I thought obviously Doolittle, just when he decides to go get his shots and get to his spots, he's tough to deal with, man. And then of all things, Jaron Rilley, the coach's son, hitting that dagger from the right wing to basically end the ball game, you know, and a lot of the Red Army kind of had egg on their faces. That kid's a player, man. He's a player. So, and again, what I loved about him was didn't try to do too much, just got himself in the flow of the game late, which is always tough to do after you've been sitting on the bench most of it, and came up with 5 big points. down the stretch. So, yeah, that was a really disappointing for New Zealand. And man, it's hard to see anybody challenging them for the wooden spoon at the moment. There's got to be someone's going to finish last, but I don't think they've got much depth. I think they, I think defensively they're pretty poor, and it's PJC is going to have an enormous amount on his shoulders, I think, for this team to be even competitive this year. I just haven't liked what I've seen in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, whoever loses out of Sydney, New Zealand on Saturday is in a world of hurt. Well, they both already are in a world of hurt, but yeah, the Breakers are flopping, and they're flopping pretty hard. Something that may have been missed, by the way, as far as the Perth Wildcats are concerned, this would have gone without much fanfare, but we know that there has been the change of ownership. Mark Arena has purchased it from the Sports Entertainment Group, SEN. Something that's flicked through over the last couple of days is that this is the headline for this press release. Sports Entertainment Group agrees to accelerate the remaining stage sale of the Perth Wildcats. So this originally was going to be stretched out over a period of a couple of years. It's now going to be completed by March 31 next year.
Mm.
So this has been brought forward. Now, the way that this is worded would indicate to me that SCG has agreed to accelerate. This would, the way it's worded seems to me that Mark Arena's pushed for this. I wonder why.
It's a good question, but look, if he's got the funding and he has the vision, well, why not? You know, look, the whole Bryce situation was not great, clearly. They didn't handle that well at all. So, and there's still, I'm sure, a large segment of the Red Army that hasn't forgiven him in particular for letting Bryce go. But as I said, look, I've been impressed with how they rebuilt without Bryce. And I know people are talking about Mason Jones, et cetera, and look, he hasn't got his shooting eye in right now, but we know he's, look, history tells you the guy can shoot the rock. So let's give him a little bit of time. But he's also there to do other things. He's also there to lead. He's also there to facilitate. He's also there to play D. So I think there's probably a little too much focus on his shooting struggles right now. But yeah, in terms of Mark, look, I think it's a good thing. You know, I mean, he probably just wants, he's got control right now, but I think having that total control over the team, it's going to be his vision. And hopefully he, becomes a Jack Bendat, and brings that, the gold standard, a whole bunch more championships. And keeps, you've got to keep fostering that Red Army relationship. You've got to make sure that you keep bringing those people through the door night in, night out. You keep that whole WA versus, the world mentality. You've got to foster that. You've got to push that. You've got to drive that. So hopefully, Mark is able to do that, and the Wildcats, stay a perennial powerhouse.
Love to hear from him as to, and Mark, there's an open invitation to come on the show whenever you like, but just interested to know why. I mean, the staggered sale, it's not like he wasn't already the controlling owner. I'm just wondering, did he push for this? Was this SEN pushing for this? And why now? It's just, I find these things interesting. Tasmania and Illawarra. The Jack Jumpers winning 91-86 on Banner Night in Wollongong. 5,123 packed the place out. And I said it last week, Matty, teams on nights that they raise the championship, there's a thing about it. They just don't get it. And it's not just in the NBL. It's in the NBA as well.
Yep. He was awesome. One of the best debuts I've ever seen. And, it's great for them. They needed that with Sam Froling's injury. But the flip side is, Tasmania, man, they are outstanding. Again, no David Johnston. I mean, that's a huge out. But Bryce Hamilton was brilliant. Again, the guy that opened my eyes was Tiger Campbell. I thought he was fantastic. And, really ran that team extremely well. Only 4 assists. Doesn't fully tell the tale. But he was great. Loved Josh Bannon. Josh Bannon, maybe it's the haircut, but he looks a whole lot bouncier than I've seen him. You know, his activity and his energy and intensity, the first couple of weeks have been terrific. Majuk Deng doing what he does, hitting, you know, big shots off the bench. And, you know, I thought Nick Marshall played some nice minutes as well for them. But, yeah, they were terrific, Tasmania. And, you know, they're just going to get better. You know, as Scotty Roth keeps saying, you know, it's a new group, and he's excited to see how they evolve during the course of the year. But I think the one negative, and look, yeah, it's tough. You never like to see it, but Ja'Cory McLaughlin is not going to last the season. I think it's pretty common knowledge now. I'm not breaking any confidences by saying this. I think it's pretty obvious. He's only there while Dave O'Hickey is on the sideline. Once Dave O is ready to go, rather, I think Ja'Cory departs, and I think they go after someone now. The question is, do you go after a point guard now? I don't think you do, because you've got Bawali Bales there, who played some really good minutes for the Hawks. And, you know, look, I've been singing his praises, obviously. You know, how he did in NBL One East, and then, you know, goes to Summer League, and, you know, I mean, and did some good things there. Okay, yeah, turned the ball over a couple of times, sure. But overall, before he got hurt, you know, was there and mixing it up. And I think they've got themselves their backup point guard. So as far as that import spot, which will become open once Dave O'Hickey comes back, they'll let go of McLaughlin. It's who they get. Who do they go for? Do they go for kind of a 2-3? Do they go bigger? Do they go for a 3-4 potential? A scorer? So, yeah, they've got some options. It's interesting. I'd initially thought it would have been a point guard, but now with, you know, Bawali Bales, and then you've got Kobe McDowell-White, as, you know, he's there as well. And, you know, he's a kid that's going to earn some minutes, I think, during the season. He was terrific at NBL One East as well. Yes, I know it's not the NBL. I know it's a step down. But basketball is basketball, as they say. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see which way the Hawks go with that. But, yeah, it'll be tough for them for a while, having Hickey sidelined, because as we saw in the playoffs, and in particular the championship series and NBL 25, just what he means to that program.
The Jackies look like a potentially special group. There's so much that, if you're a Jack Jumpers fan, that you're excited about right now. The game that they lost were to Melbourne, who look incredible this season. Yeah. So there's certainly no shame in that. And look, those battles between Melbourne and Tasmania this season are going to be box office. So they already have been, and they always are. Illawarra, I think we need to be patient with them.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be some overreactions if they start a little bit slower, but they'll figure it out. There's a lot to like about the Hawks. They're defending champs for a reason. Let's keep calm about this one. Not sure how calm you can keep about this one, this next one. Cairns, 77-74 over the Sydney Kings at the Q. 8,536 rolled into Qdos Bank Arena to see it. Let's start with the Taipans quickly, because you got to tip your cap to Jack McVeigh. Did it again. 24 points. Outstanding performance. Andrew Andrews, 16 points. And the Taipans, gritty, tough. They have a pretty decent record at the Q as well in recent seasons.
Yeah, well, yes and no.
Well, considering they never won there until, I think it was, what, 2020?
Yeah, that's right. But and I think, they hadn't won a season opener there in forever. But, we'll start with them. Right. We saw kind of the best and the worst of Rayne Smith. When his feet are set, he's a walking bucket, that kid. Like, when he's got an open look at the basket, forget it. That thing's going down. He is an absolute lights-out shooter in the right circumstance. He's still got to learn not to force it, and I think a few times he did that, and I think 40 acknowledged that afterwards. But, man, he's a special talent. He's as gifted as they come. So, you know, I think that backcourt, him and Andrew Andrews, that's going to be a great backcourt, I think. Kind of one that has come out of nowhere. talked about Jack. He was terrific. And I thought they got some great contributions off the bench as well. You know, just guys doing their role. Alexander Higgins, teacher, my guy, Cody Statman. You know, you look at the stats, you think, oh, they didn't do that much. Yeah, they made some big plays. So did Kyron Galloway. Marcus Lee didn't score, but was just that steadying influence defensively and rim protector. Admiral Schofield, probably a bit quiet, and I still think he's finding his feet a little bit. But, what a performance, you know, to beat the Kings in their season opening game. So, again, we talked about what a weekend for the Taipans. And as I said, I think this is a group that's probably going to sneak up on a bunch of people this year. You know, I think they're going to be a lot better than people think they are. So, huge game for them coming up, which we'll get to in a moment.
The story is in purple and gold, though, Matt.
Yeah, it is. I kind of wanted to get that Cairns thing out of the way first, but I got some problems, man. Yeah, I look, there's a couple of things. Number one, it was the first that the Kings have lost, dating back to last season, the Kings have now lost five straight games. And if you include the preseason, they've actually lost eight straight games. They'd never lost five straight under Brian Gorgian previously. They only lost three straight maximum before he came back. So, look, you can look at the, it's one of those things where the stats kind of mask the issues, I think. They were slow out of the blocks, which I kind of expected. Second period outscored the Taipans 27-18, thought, okay, here we go. Led at the half. They'll go on with this now. But then we're held to just 29 points in the second half. 29. For a team that people have been talking about has all this talent and yada, 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 and they should be doing this and they should be doing that. And I've, you know, again, we talked about it. This whole business about people saying they're going to, you know, these NBL experts, in air quotes, and, oh, yeah, they're going to be a top four team. Really? Really? I don't like the vibe around this team. Boddy picked up on it during the blitz, Boddy Notch. He picked up on it during the blitz, and I think he was right. Look, the stats say they out-rebounded the Taipans. They committed fewer turnovers. They, you know, had more shots. That you could go ultra simplistic and say the only reason they lost was because they were an abysmal 4 of 28 from three-point range. Top 15 worst shooting nights from the outside in the history of the franchise, believe it or not. So, and then the Taipans made 11. So they made four triples, Taipans made 11. There's your ball game. But I don't buy it. There were breakdowns offensively, defensively. You could say that they held them to 77 points, so that's a good thing, but I think the Taipans left a lot out on the table. I think they missed a lot of open looks. Brian, he's going to do this. He's going to sit in the press conference. He's going to defend his team. And he's going to say that I'm happy with my guys. I'm happy with the group that I've got. But no one in their right mind thinks that a front line of Tim Suarez, Xavier Cooks, and Hunter Goodrick is a championship contending front line. No one's going to say that. Come on now. Against some of the other front lines of this league, you're joking. And look, Tim Suarez had a good second half. He was productive, but he still can't defend anybody in the post. And I shudder to think what JaVale McGee, what Joe Lualachul, what Will Magne, what Isaac Humphries, what Tyrell Harrison, to name but a few, are going to do to Jesse Edwards, are going to do to this guy unless they get him some help. I mean, God bless Hunter Goodrick. You know, I thought he played 7 minutes, had nice energy, 4 points, but he's not an NBL player. Now, he's a replacement player. He's a fill-in. But the question is going to be, I'm sick of saying it, but people got to understand the situation. This is what the Kings are looking at since Laupapa's injury, right? So it's a massive, massive hit in so many ways because they can't go and get a third import. Everyone's saying, oh, the Kings need a third import. Sure they do. Okay, what does that mean? That means that one of the marquees, which would be Bolqual, would have to have that salary converted into a salary that counts against the salary cap. So that would then put the Kings into tax territory. That's number one. Number two, if you're going to go out and get another import, it is a waste of time to get a role player. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but that's what Tim Suarez is. And people have got to understand that. He's not a superstar. He's a good, solid player. He's an excellent third import. Excellent third import. But he's not a guy that's going to, you know, lead you to a championship. He's not. He could be part of a championship team and has been. But what you've got to get as a third import is someone who's going to make a significant impact. And if you're looking at a 3-4 or a 4-5, you're talking minimum $750,000 to get one that's going to make an impact. Because if you're not, if you're just going to get another role play, what's the point? Because it's not going to change life for you. It's not going to change things. So there's that. And then on top of that, okay, then they're talking about going after Mikhail Maker, who's playing in Saudi Arabia right now. Getting him as a local, I mean, that'd cost $500,000 probably. So this is what we're talking about here. And the Denhams, Robin Denham in particular, as the owners of this club, are they going to spend that kind of money? I'm sure that it wouldn't have been budgeted for. Obviously, look, you can never account for losing a Laupapa for the year. That's why it's such a devastating thing that's happened. And then, look, Jason Spurgeon's a development player, but he was looking pretty good in NBL One East, and they liked what he was doing at training. I was talking to Billy Tomlinson, King's assistant coach, about him at the King's season launch, and he was saying, you know, he was really impressed with him. And he's impressed with Tim Suarez. You know, he's done a lot for the culture. I mean, he's a good guy. Now, again, I just think people just need to be realistic about this stuff. So, anyway, look. Kendrick Davis, I can't see him shooting 9 of 27 again, but it kind of tells you that, you know, him taking 27 shots, the most that he's ever taken in an NBL game, that he felt kind of responsibility when this team's offense was just, you know, I mean, it broke down far too many times. And yeah, they missed a lot of shots. They missed a lot of open looks. They missed a lot of contested looks as well. But, I don't think the depth is particularly great. Bolqual, you know, again, 3 points. I know he grabbed 8 rebounds, and Gorge talked about him defensively. He was impressed with him. I wasn't, again. But again, I've said this a million times, this is your marquee, man. This is the problem, the way this thing has been constructed. So I know it's easy to overreact over one game, and I'm probably overreacting severely, but these are the facts. Brian Gorgian has lost 5 straight games with this team. They've got someone waiting in the wings that clearly has designs on the head coaching role, and that's Andrew Bogut. I think I'd hate to see it, obviously, for personal reasons and also for the man's legacy. I don't like the way this is going. I just, you know, maybe I'm overreacting, but I think this game against New Zealand is going to be huge, put it that way. I mean, I know it's early in the season and all of that, but if they go 0-2 and lose their first 2 games to Cairns and New Zealand, 2 games where you would have thought they go in favourites, they certainly were against Cairns, they certainly will be against New Zealand, but 2 games that they would have expected to win, and now they're in a position where they're fighting to stay out of 0-2, which would be the 6th consecutive loss for the Kings under Brian Gorgian. And where do they go from there? Especially if the ownership, the front office, isn't prepared to improve this team's roster. Because as presently constituted, this team's roster is a million miles away from championship contention. I don't care what anybody says. I know there's all this hype about Matt Dellavedova, who, again, I loved. I mean, Matt was Matt. He's still got the problems with the outside shooting. But, I mean, what he's fantastic. I mean, he's such a leader. He's such a warrior, always has been. I'm a big fan of Kendrick Davis. He's going to be better for the run. I've got no doubts about that. Jalen Galloway was quiet, but I've still got faith in him. And Xavier Cooks, you know, was quiet offensively. You know, I expect a lot more out of him. So there are some good points in this team. But I think, you know, I've talked about the backup guard situation. Tyler Robertson didn't even get on the court. So, yeah, I don't like – Boddy was right. You know, I was really worried about things, and I came away feeling a little bit disheartened. I have to say, it was a tough watch. It really was yesterday. But again, it is one game. We have to give them time. But I tell you what, you know, this New Zealand game coming up, man, they have got to get it done. To me, it's a non-negotiable. You just can't. You can't start 0-2 in your first two home games. You just can't.
We'll have more to say about the Kings in a moment. The last game of the weekend, the home opener for the Adelaide 36ers. They showed up. They showed up big time, 87-80 over the Brisbane Bullets. 9,429 in the house at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre. Bryce Cotton, 39 points in his Sixers debut, 6 assists to boot as well. Shot 60% from the field, 14 of 23, 6 of 9 from 3-point range. I mean, this guy's going to be the MVP or the second in the MVP voting for as long as he wants, it seems.
Yeah, he loves breaking these records, doesn't he? I mean, the most points by anyone playing their first game for the Adelaide 36ers. He broke Butch Hayes' record, which was 36 back in 1991, of all things. And the 39, which, you know, the NBL haven't said anything about this, but 39 points, it's actually the most by any player in their first game for any team in the 40-minute era. So including 79-83. That's, I don't know what to say. I mean, what can you say? I mean, I think it was Bobby Nodge who said he is one of the Holy Trinity now. There's no doubt. I mean, you got Drewy, you got Leroy and Bryce. There's your Holy Trinity. That's, for me, it's Bird, Magic, Michael, you know, and that's where this guy is now. He's that version, you know, those three are that version of those three gods. So it was incredible. It was like, you know, every time you think you've seen everything for this guy, he just goes out and does something. You have to laugh sometimes. We are so lucky to have had him here. And, you know, he was extraordinary and put on a show for those fans. And they are it's going to be so hard to get a ticket now. This is the ongoing effect of him, because like I said with JaVale McGee, this guy's the ultimate box office. Adelaide have been getting great crowds anyway. Man, it's big borrow still to get a ticket in there with him in that joint. Just fabulous. And when you can see, and look, you know, they're still far from the finished product, Adelaide. But when you've got him leading the way, I mean, it's like 70% of the work's done. You just need to make sure that you've put the right pieces around him. And look, Mike Wells, yep, the pressure's on you, pal, because you can't waste this. Not with this kind of, you know, generational talent, the like of which we have not seen in decades, that's here and gracing us with his presence. Sorry, Red Army. I mean, I know you guys are like, yeah, there you go, Adelaide, you know, congratulations. You get to experience what we have for the last, what is it, 9 seasons previously. Just an incredible performance. He just seems to be getting better. That's even more frightening. So, yep, got the job done against an undermanned Brisbane who we've already blasted enough. Look, I mean, the one thing about Brisbane, I've got to say, Tyrell Harrison, man, I'm loving what I'm seeing from this kid. If he stays out of foul trouble and, more importantly, stays healthy, yeah, he's turning into, you know, a big man that he could dominate for a number of years.
It's Bryce Cotton, folks. What did you honestly think was going to happen? It was going to come out and score 2 points and go 1 of 22 from the field. I don't know why we ever think that it's not going to be like this.
Yeah, true.
He's just I thought myself, it's like, well, okay, this is going to be interesting. Bryce in a different environment. He might, you know, go for 30 and he'll slowly build. Well, slowly by his standards would be 2 to 3 games, but he'll build into being that. No, straight back to being Bryce. Straight back to being him.
Yeah. He takes incredible care of his body. I mean, Wurtho mentioned it in one of his tweets and sort of said, you know, Bryce, the motor. I've never seen a motor like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's incredible. Probably from a defensive perspective, probably Damien Martin's the closest one I can think of that just had this nonstop energy, seemingly. His off the ball movement is unparalleled. And, you know, he showed against Panathinaikos that he can play, and in the NBA, obviously, he can clearly play it at the highest of levels. I mean, we already knew this. Sometimes you might say, I mean, he's little and this and that as far as the NBA is concerned. But does anybody honestly believe in an NBA that doesn't really prioritize defense all that much that he couldn't get decent looks with the motor that he's got and his off-the-ball movement? Come on now. We're just lucky to have him, full stop. Thank God he didn't go to Japan or China. I mean, I think it's just going to be fascinating to see if he can get this team a championship.
Yeah.
As I said, Mike Wells, don't blow it, pal.
Oh, boy. So talk about, rightfully so, with the whole Stu Lash situation in Brisbane. But Mike Wells, here's a chance, buddy. I mean, he did well to get them to a play-in considering all the circus situation last year. And then you beg the question, well, you know, was he a help or a hindrance? Well, here's a chance to, you've got the greatest player, NBL player of this generation on your roster, still at his peak. Go out and get it done. You got rid of Montrezl Harrell is gone. Kendrick Davis is gone. So you don't have that noise around you. You've still got the likes of Isaac Humphries and DJ Vasiljevic. You've got a team that can get it done around Bryce Cotton. Go and get it done. October 26th. Melbourne United, Adelaide 36ers, JCA. I will walk there from Sydney if I have to. I cannot wait for that game.
Yep.
It was already going to be an exciting game to watch, but the way things are playing out, that Melbourne-Adelaide rivalry is coming back, folks. It's coming back, and this time it's not going to be the affray at JCA. We're going to be talking about for purely basketball reasons. Let's get into round three. We spoke about the United and Phoenix game against the Pels. That happens Friday night for United at RLA, Rod Laver Arena, and Sunday afternoon for the Phoenix. NBL-wise, Thursday night and Saturday night, double headers.
Yeah, just four games, which is unusual.
Yeah, keep it brief.
Yeah, I'll look a fascinating one to start. We've just waxed lyrical about BC, and he goes into a venue that he absolutely adores, and he's... Man, he's put some big numbers up there in the past when he was with the Wildcats.
It's Cairns and Adelaide, folks, at the Cairns Convention Centre.
Yeah, that's right. Fascinating matchup. Now, obviously, Cairns, fantastic weekend from them. Adelaide, you know, the Bryce Cotton experience at full throttle. Their first road game against, you know, the Orange Army. The place will be a sellout. They've really, you know, the excitement up there is building. I was so impressed with Cairns over the weekend. You know, look, they're still a work in progress. You know, there's a lot to work through, but Andrew Andrews gets a full week of practice, so gets, you know, an opportunity to get himself right, get himself more in sync, more in shape. So that will be a massive help. Admiral Schofield, I think, you know, we haven't seen the best of him yet, but he's NBA quality, so I'm expecting more out of him. So, look, they're going to be tough, but look, 40's never found an answer. No one has, let's be honest, for Bryce. And as I mentioned, it's one of those gyms that he absolutely adores. So, look, Forty's just going to have to throw some exotic looks at him defensively, I think. He's going to have to really junk the thing up dramatically if there are any chance, I think, personally. I think, look, Adelaide will get their new import that we sort of talked about the Montrezl Harrell situation. So Nick Rakicevic, coming in, played at USC, wasn't drafted, 6'11 guy, kind of a stretch the floor big, which I think they could use. Nice little kind of backup to Isaac Humphries and Zylan Cheatham. So, played a lot in the CBA. He's played Puerto Rico as well. So, they're not NBL standard leagues, obviously, but the pedigree's decent. Two-time Pac-12 player of the week back in the day. He was at USC, played for the Trojans between 2016-2020. So, he'll be there to play a role. I've been impressed with their new additions as well, not just Bryce. I think Cheatham gives them great energy. DJ Vasiljevic will be much better for the run. I think, he's still got to figure out things alongside Bryce that can be, a bit of an adjustment period, considering that, DJ's a high-volume player by nature and so is Bryce, obviously. So DJ has to kind of find his spots and maybe contribute in other ways, whether that be facilitation, whether that be rebounding or, defending, doing a job somewhere. I'm sure he'll figure it out. So, bottom line, I'm going with Adelaide. I think Bryce at the Cairns Convention Centre is a recipe for success as far as any team he's playing on, and Cairns will give him a fight. Don't worry about that. But in the end, I think it's just too much, Bryce.
Bryce to win the game by 8 points and the Adelaide 36ers by proxy as well. Perth and Illawarra at the RAC Arena Thursday night.
Fascinating, isn't it? And I kind of had this thought in my head watching that New Zealand game. We've sort of talked about it, that when they were down 74-62 in the fourth, I thought, my God, the Red Army is in meltdown right now. And if they don't get this done, and go to 0-2, then there's going to be some serious pressure on John Riley. But they figured it out. And despite, Mason Jones not filling it up as we spoke about, they got the job done on the road, which was really important. And this is, again, going to be a bit of a referendum about them this season. Illawarra right now is more gettable than they will be in the second half of the season, simply because you get Hickey back and, they're a completely different unit with him. We saw that in the championship series. The JaVale McGee matchup with Joe Lawala-Chool is worth the price of admission on its own. That's going to be fantastic. I mean, it's been rare to see, in the NBL, two absolute stud seven-footers go head-to-head and just go after each other. And that's going to be a fascinating matchup. Obviously, the Windler-Doolittle combo is going to be tough for the Hawks, I think, to defend. And it'll be interesting to see. I was really impressed. I know Boddy's been a bit hard on him, but I was really impressed with what I saw from Ben Henschel in that fourth quarter, particularly defensively. I just thought he raised the tempo and raised the intensity of that defensive unit. I was so impressed with him, with his attitude. So, it'd be interesting to see. And obviously Mason Jones, still working his way in, but, he'll be looking to hit a few threes and get everybody involved. I like Perth in this one. It wouldn't surprise me to see Illawarra get the win, don't get me wrong. But I just think right this second, I think Illawarra, it's going to take some time. Until they get Davo back in the lineup, until they get themselves that new import that everyone expects them to get, they are a little bit vulnerable right now, the defending champs. So, give me Perth in this one.
Yeah, I'm going with the Wildcats. But as I said, let's keep our level heads when it comes to the Hawks. We'll save Sydney, New Zealand for last. We'll talk about Brisbane, Tasmania first at Boondall. It's an 8 o'clock matchup on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on this, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, I think Freeman Liberty is going to be out again. I'm not sure of the status of David Johnson, but probably won't matter because, yeah, Bryce Hamilton's an absolute, he's a weapon, as we know. And, you know, if that Tiger Campbell that we saw against Illawarra, if that's what we're going to see moving forward from him, then look the hell out. Great matchup. You know, it's, yeah, I mean, I have to go Tasmania. You know, I can't see, I just think, you know, way better coached, you know, better depth now, I think. Yeah, look, the Jalen Adams-Tiger Campbell matchup's an interesting one, but, you know, I like what I saw from him. Yeah, look, you know, Tyrell Harrison against Will Magne is going to be a great matchup as well. Yeah, two local bigs going at it. But, yeah, I can't go past Tasmania.
Tasmania for many, 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 many reasons. Sydney and New Zealand.
So you mentioned, well, I'll let you have this one. Yeah. You mentioned you had something to say about the Kings. So I want to hear it because obviously a few things that I've said are going to get me in trouble yet again. Yeah. I copped it a little bit from Sean Bruce on Sunday, but that's it's all good. But
hi, Sean.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm concerned about Sydney.
Yeah,
I really, really am.
And yeah, I am. Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't be. It's one game, you know. But I don't know. I don't like the feel of it.
There's some, and look, I'm looking from completely afar these days. I haven't called a Sydney Kings game since the 2022 championship, but.
God,
in Sydney anyway. In Sydney anyway. I've obviously caught Kings games in Melbourne. But I don't like what I'm seeing just around it. It has a really strange feel. It's got that aspect of it's just the storm clouds are coming in and we're about 10 minutes away from it really bucketing down.
Yeah. You're right. And you've already got – you know, the Sydney fans and on social media, not that I pay too much attention to what a lot of fans say or think, but, you know, they're certainly not as vociferous as what the Red Army are, but there's a lot of questions about, you know, Brian, even though a lot of those questions are actually, it's from a position of ignorance because, you know, I'm trying to explain to people about this team. That's why and where they really don't fit the mold of a legitimate championship contender, particularly up front. And yeah, like that, this is what I've been trying to get through to people that, you know, in order for this team to be a legitimate championship contender, the roster has to be improved. That's the bottom line. And in order to do that, it's going to require a lot of money. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Well, do you think it's going to happen? Do you think that they'll do what needs to be done?
I don't. This is why I've got this bad feeling. They should have already done something about it. Like if they were, you know, none of this crap about, you know, let's wait till midway through the season. Midway through the season might be too late. In a league like this, with talent that we have, the coaching that we've talked about, midway through the season, it might be not worth doing. And look, again, I mean, people are going to scream at me and say, you're overreacting. It's one game. They didn't shoot the ball well. I absolutely take that on board. You know, I absolutely take that on board. But I'm looking at other teams. You know, I mean, it's what I do, you know, and I've done forever. You know, you have to analyze other teams. You have to, you know, look at them. Look at the way they're doing things. Look at the way the coaching is. Look at the culture. Look at the structure of the organization. Look at the systems they're running and look at the talent and look at the balance and look at the connectivity. And the connectivity I did not see. I didn't see that connection or that connectivity. They had four assists in the first half. Four. Anything they got was just pick and roll, one-on-one, one-on-two. I'm just going to, you know, the ball movement just wasn't there. And part of that is, you know, connection, connectivity. They don't have it at the moment. So that's part of it. But then the other part, of it, as I said before, is just man for man, people wet themselves on with Kendrick Davis. I love Kendrick Davis, and I'm a massive Matthew Dellavedova fan. And that's, you know, on that Jalen Galloway was the MVP of the FIBA Asia Cup. Oh, they got him. But there's still so many holes in this team, man. Come on. You're not looking at it properly if you don't see that. And I had them, as I said in the preseason, I had five teams, maybe even six in front of them. And nothing I saw, I had a bad feeling when I can't explain it. I had a bad feeling when I walked into that venue on Sunday. I had a bad feeling in the pregame. And then I watched them and I thought, and you could hear the crowd and the murmurs, and they got this, oh, you know, this, people were so disappointed. And I just, yeah, I've just got I've had my questions. This is not a new thing. I was saying this, I felt this way in the preseason when Lau Pepe went down and they did nothing about it, nothing. And that proved to me, and look, I hope they shock me, and tomorrow it comes out, we're going to get a third import. This is what we're going to do. And this is the money. We're going to spend this money. We are absolutely committed to this team being a championship contender. But so far, nothing. So we'll see. Maybe that changes. But if you expect to wait, and I've heard this from other people, oh, they'll wait till the middle of the season because it's cheaper. Yeah, it might be too late. So, yeah, I don't know what to say. I'm really, really, really concerned about the Sydney Kings this season.
Yeah, preseason predictions are always fraught with fragility anyway, because it's, you know, anyone can say anything at the start of the year.
Of course.
I mean, it's the ultimate guessing game. But Sydney on paper, the idea of them finishing top four, and some people are having them top two, are we looking at the other rosters here? What are we trading off when it comes to putting Sydney this high up? Yeah, they've got some pieces, but this is the most stacked competition that we've ever seen. Every team is batting so deep. I mean, Melbourne's already 3-0. Adelaide have Bryce Cotton and are going to put up big numbers. Tasmania started 2-1 and they look like they're going to be a tough team to beat. Cairns have started 2-1.
Yep.
You know, Perth are going to eventually figure things out.
Yep.
Southeast Melbourne, you know, will take away the fourth quarter from the throwdown. They destroyed Cairns, admittedly under strength, and they were pretty good in patches last Thursday night. They're going to win their fair share of games.
They'll have an import to come as well, don't forget.
Exactly. And Illawarra are going to figure things out when they get some bodies back. So there's seven teams before you even get to Sydney.
Yeah. Exactly.
Where is this top two Sydney, top four Sydney scenario?
Well, as I said, it's about the backcourt, clearly. I mean, that's what people are looking at. Kendrick Davis, I get it, and Matthew Dellavedova, and sort of saying, well, you know, this is going to be an incredible backcourt. They make everybody around them better. They led the league in assists, the pair of them, last season. So from that perspective, but then there are other things that you have to look at. One of whom, I almost went through a whole podcast without ragging on him enormously. But again, Bol Qual's an import guy, people. He's, you know, and this is a guy that's, what's he giving you as a marquee player? He's a marquee. Did I say import? Marquee. So, yeah, that's one. That's been a failure. Absolute failure. And now that you can get away with it if you've got a healthy Lau Pepe, because yeah, he was going to be relied upon heavily as a second year player. Now he's gone, and then your other backup big, who's shown some good signs in the off season, Jason Spurgeon, he's gone. So they are paper thin on the front line, paper thin. If you're relying on Hunter Goodrick to give you minutes, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm sorry, I don't. And it's not a slight on Hunter. He's a good kid. I liked how he played, as I said earlier. But, yeah, I probably should stop because I'm in enough trouble already with the Kings, but I quite frankly don't care at the moment. I just I'm just really, really, really concerned about the future of this club this season. And I think if the front office isn't committed to putting on the absolute best roster possible in a league like this, when it is patently obvious that the Kings lost that game by shooting, they shot 4 of 28 from the outside. That too many outside shots, no doubt. Should have gone inside, but the problem is they don't have the depth to go at it. And then there's always the specter of Suarez and his foul trouble. And like I said, now if they're gonna have to double team everybody in the post. That's any one of these bigs, they're gonna have to go double coverage because Suarez one on one is going to get obliterated. I'm sorry, he is. I don't care what anybody says. He can't stop these guys. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, as presently constituted, they can't win the championship. And I hate saying it, but it is what it is. I've got to be honest. I've said that from day one. Yes, I have a significant connection with this team. Everybody knows this. But I've got to be honest. And I've seen the ups and I've seen the downs. And I just have a really, really bad feeling about what's going on. I don't like it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope to God I'm wrong. I hope they turn it around. I hope they put 100 on 150 on New Zealand, whatever it is, and they win going away and they can tell me to go to hell and shut up and whatever. But yeah, that was just that was so disappointing on Sunday.
There was just one last thing before we close the program for this week. There was a guy played for the Sydney Kings a few years ago who I remember sitting next to you every night watching them at Kudos, and he drove you absolutely insane. His name was David Ware. And I didn't think that you would ever be driven more insane by a Sydney Kings player other than David Ware until Bol Qual.
Yeah. I used to have arguments with Jeff Van Groningen about David Ware. Oh, my God. Actually, there's someone who sits in front of me at the games, and he's got a David Ware singlet. And I haven't spoken to him yet, but I feel like saying, mate, you're pretty brave wearing that singlet.
I just remember
who's one claim to fame. Let's give him his due. He did hit that shot against the Wildcats at RAC.
Yes,
that one game he did do that. So I haven't forgotten that. But otherwise, he's, oh man. Anyway.
So on that note, and with apologies to David,
we didn't give a prediction. I think the Kings win.
Sydney win.
Because if they don't, then it truly is a crisis. Even at 0-2, I'm sorry, it would be. I can't say it. I think they'll find a way to do it and at least keep the dogs at bay for another week.
Yeah, New Zealand's a rabble. So yeah. I say Sydney win here, but they've got greater tests ahead. So sure. I think we've done all the damage we can do here. Next week.
I have. Oh, my Lord. Am I going to cop it? Oh, well, whatever. Won't be the first, not the first time, won't be the last.
Next week on the program, we've got a special guest with us. And, I'm looking forward to it. This could just be an entire episode of King's Chat, to be honest, next week.
Yeah. Our good friend Bradley Rosen, yes, who, as ever, does a great job commentating and being an analyst. And, it's a friend of the program. And, of course, has his own great podcast with our other great friend, Body Nodge, the Bread and Body podcast, but he will grace us with his estimable presence next week. It'd be interesting to get, this is the captain of the club and, former captain of the Sydney Kings. So it'll be interesting to get his viewpoint on win or lose on the Kings and how he really feels about them now after what he saw. He was there, obviously, commentating on Sunday. And then again on Saturday. And then, of course, then they have to turn around and play Melbourne the following Wednesday. So, yeah, my goodness.
Have fun with that. By the way, if any team is going to beat the Pelicans, it's going to be United. We'll catch you next week.